Good day, and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow 9-month 2017 Financial and Business Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena Finashina, Head of International Business Department. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are pleased to welcome you today to the 9-month 2017 Financial and Business Results Call of Credit Bank of Moscow. We are ready to start our presentation, and today Vladimir Chubar, CEO of the bank, will give an update on the key financial and business highlights of the reporting period, also highlighting certain important events after the reporting date. And Eric de Beauchamp, Senior Vice President of the bank, will also dwell on financial performance of the bank for the 9-month period of this year. Our presentation will be followed by a traditional Q&A session where you are welcome to participate. So now I turn the floor over to our first speaker. Vladimir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yelena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Having passed October 2017, which for Credit Bank of Moscow was full of very positive transactions and events, I am happy to report on another strong quarter for the bank and further improvement of key quality metrics. Starting from a traditional macro review, there are no material changes to dwell on. We see certain movements with regard to the office market, with the international bid declining and prevailing expectations of higher yields going forward. On the ruble-dollar correlation, there has recently been an obvious diverse trend, with the oil prices going up and ruble weakening to some extent, which is treated by us as a positive factor for the Russian economy in general. But returning back to a discussion of CBM's financial results for 9 months of 2017, I suggest that we start from slide number two. Key metrics of financial performance of the bank are very solid, having improved further from the previous quarter results. Profit has doubled comparing with a similar period of the last year and arrived at more than 16 billion rubles. Net interest income is affected by the changing environment and tough competition, and therefore has shown quite a modest growth of below 1%. In the meantime, net fee and commission income is on track of accelerating growth and increased by 22.6% year on year. Effectively, fee component contributes more and more to the operational result of the bank, in line with the strategic plans of its active development. Net interest margin on average risk-weighted assets has reached 4.3% and is stably kept at this level through 2017, while net interest margin has decreased to 2.8% as a reflection of higher competition and consistently high liquid assets portion on the balance sheet of the bank. Return on average equity has improved to almost 20% and has been successfully maintained by the bank at high teens level during this year. Outstanding operating efficiency of the bank keeps on supporting its strong profits, with the cost-to-income ratio being only 28%. Loans to customers gained 24% in volume during the reporting period, traditionally triggered by the corporate loan portfolio growth, coming mostly from the existing top-quality clients, as already mentioned. NPL ratio dropped to 1.7% from 2.3% in the beginning of the year, while cost of risk further improved to 1.9% from 4.6% for full year of 2016. Capital position has been significantly strengthened from the year start, which is only partially reflected in the bottom line capital ratios. Tier 1 capital ratio increased to 14.2% from 9.4%, and total capital adequacy improvement to 23% from 14.7% after Tier 1 and Tier 2 Eurobond issues in the first half of this year. Let's now move to the next slide for the business update. Corporate loans expanded by 29.4% in the reporting period and reached 733 billion rubles, while retail loans showed the opposite dynamics and decreased by roughly 6%. Focus on corporate business growth and restrained activity in the retail business have led to higher weight of corporate business in the loan book, as evidenced by the left-hand graph. Corporate loans now make 89% of the loans versus 11% represented by the retail retail business. A breakdown of corporate loans by sectors shows that the bank currently focuses on export-oriented sectors such as oil and chemicals, and also on such sectors as financial, property rental, construction, auto and food, and farm traditionally represented in the bank's corporate loan portfolio. Key products in retail business remain unchanged and include cash loans and mortgages, making 73% and 22% of total retail loans respectively. Before I pass the floor to Eric for the financial results update, I would like to draw your attention to slide number 4 with an outline of the key events that took place in October this year. One of the most important recent capital events includes public offering of new shares by the bank on Moscow Exchange in the amount of 14.4 billion rubles. The transaction was marketed internationally, and the majority of demand was generated by institutional investors, including international ones, supported by participation of Russian retail investors. Apart from that, Tier 2 capital was reinforced by subordinated deposits, while $25 million US dollars out of the outstanding Tier 2 Eurobonds maturing next year were repurchased to support the instrument liquidity and optimize the capital structure. It is important to mention that the bank has significantly strengthened the bank's management board by expertise of two new members, Alexander Kaznacheyev in charge of corporate business development and Oleg Boronov in charge of investment banking. These appointments are in line with the bank's strategy of expanding its market share in corporate business segment, as well as complementing the product range offered by the bank to its clients. Now I suggest that we move to financial results update. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's turn to slide number 5 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses. As you can see on the top left diagram, the dynamics of operating income was flat year on year due to several factors. First, the net interest margin remains under pressure as, on one hand, the bank is still maintaining a significant part of its assets in low-risk, highly liquid instruments, and on the other side, increased competition on the market put pressure on interest rates. The net interest margin trend is presented on the bottom right diagram. As you can see, during the reporting period, the NIM decreased from 3.6 to 2.8%. Meanwhile, the calculation of the net interest income as a percentage of the average risk-weighted assets shows a 4.3% level, which is in line with the market average, but still lower than the previous year's 4.6% level. Another factor which limited growth of operating income was the decrease of other net income down to 2.1 billion rubles. One of the main reasons for such decrease comes from the expenses on the early redemption of the subordinated Eurobond due in 2018. On the positive side, as you can see on the bottom left diagram, operating income was supported by a significant increase of the net fee and commission income, which now represents 22.4% of the total operating income and grew by 23% year on year to reach 9.7 billion rubles, resulting from the bank's effective strategy of developing its commission revenues. On the upper right diagram, operating expenses showed a 20% increase year on year. The growth mainly came from salaries expenses, which were linked with payment of annual bonuses and increase of the bank's headcount. The cost-to-income ratio remained at a low level of 28.4%. Now I suggest turning to slide number 6 with a breakdown of total assets. In the reporting period, total assets grew by 13.5%, with an increase of the share of the net loan portfolio from 39 to 44% of the assets. In absolute terms, the net loan book showed an increase of 25% in comparison to December 16, and liquid assets, including cash and cash equivalents, due from credit institutions and the securities portfolio, grew by 6%. The loan portfolio growth was mainly driven by the increased contribution of larger corporates from the oil and chemical segment. One of the main instruments of liquidity management are repo transactions, which amounted to 703 billion rubles and are backed by highly quality securities that are included in the Lombard list of central banks. The coverage of repo deals by collateral is maintained at a comfortable level of 119%. Additional unused liquidity sources amounted to 438 billion rubles as at the end of September 17. Now let's move to slide number 7 on the loan portfolio quality. As described in the upper left diagram, the loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance slightly decreased to 5.6% at the end of September as a factor of loan portfolio increasing from 761 to 827 billion rubles, coupled with an improved loan book quality. As shown on the upper right diagram, the impairment allowance provides a coverage of NPL of 322%. This ratio increased significantly after the bank restructured two corporate loans during the fourth quarter of 2016. The bottom left diagram shows a steady improvement of loan quality metrics, with NPL ratio amounting to 1.7%. The cost of risk decreased to 1.9%, confirming the downward trend observed since the second half of the year 2016. The related party lending is still low and stabilized at the level of 3% of the total gross loan book. Now I suggest turning to slide 8 with more details on corporate and retail portfolio metrics. On the backdrop of corporate loan book growth on the left, qualitative indicators keep showing a positive trend in the reporting period. The NPL ratio continued to decrease down to a 1% level. The NPL coverage ratio of the corporate loan book increased up to 533%. As described in the bottom left diagram, the cost of risk significantly decreased from 4.3% at the end of 2016 down to 1.5% at the end of September 17. On the right, the retail loan book NPL demonstrates a continuing downward trend and decreased to 7% at the end of September, on the backdrop of loan portfolio reduction down to 95 billion rubles. The cost of risk also decreased notably to 4.6%, to be compared with 6.5% as at the end of last year, as a result of improvement of retail loan book quality. The next slide, number 9, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities increased by 11% during the first 9 months of 2017 to 1.3 trillion rubles. Deposit base showed positive dynamics in the reporting period. Corporate deposits grew by 54% to 677 billion rubles. At the same time, retail deposits increased by 13% to 282 billion rubles at the end of September 17. Deposits by credit institutions, including deposits by CBR, were mainly represented by repo transactions, while securities provided as collateral under repo amounted to 516 billion rubles, and the value of these securities comprised 130% of the underlying value of such deals. Deposits by the CBR decreased notably due to slowdown business of our subsidiary, SKS Bank, which is mainly dealing with the CBR on the liability side. The bond repayment schedule is comfortable for the bank, with the bulk of international debt due after the year 2020. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 10, on the bank's capital. The year 2017 was very active for the bank in terms of capital raising, with significant transactions closed this year. A Tier 2 Eurobond in April for $600 million, a perpetual Tier 1 Eurobond in May for $700 million. Two security deposits were included in Tier 2 capital in October for a total amount of 22 billion rubles. And finally, a 14.4 billion ruble SPO on the Moscow Stock Exchange, was completed in October and not reflected yet in the 9-month IFRS statements. Besides this, our N11 capital ratio was additionally supported by the inclusion of Russian accounting net profit into core capital in October 17. This will be reflected accordingly as of 1st of November. As a result, the bank will close the current year with comfortable capital position, allowing to fulfill the buffers applicable to the systemically important banks from next year and to ensure further business growth. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for 9 months. Thank you very much for your attention, and now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll just pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to ask their questions. We'll take our first question from Giulia Di Mambro from Federated Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. I have two quick questions, please. Firstly, on the deposit inflow that you've seen in the quarter, could you please give us a little bit more color in terms of whether this was new money coming in into the banking system or if it was corporate switching out of other banks? And generally, how is the situation in the market in terms of deposit flows at the moment? So that's my first question. And my second question is...
Can we answer one by one? If I understand your question correctly, you're asking about the third quarter, or you're asking more about the tendencies we see now in October, for example, or both?
Both, please.
Okay, in terms of the third quarter, if your question is about if it's new money or money coming from another banks, it's not easy to comment because every money which are coming to the bank are new for us. If you're asking about the depositors, we've seen new depositors, old depositors increasing their deposits, new depositors coming to the bank, both in corporate and retail segments. So it's not easy to comment on this. If you're asking about October, we've been neutral in terms of October deposits. In November, situation is also stable. So in terms of October figures, I think that within the next few days, there will be information on the website of the Central Bank of Russia with all the, let's say, forms and statements. So I think it's better to wait because we are still now in a quiet period after the SPO we made. It looks like 40 days or something like this should be without us. So I think that anyway, we are neutral, let's say like this.
Great, thanks very much. And my second question is on your capital. So after you got additional subordinated deposits in from one of your corporate depositors, your total capital ratio looks quite high now. So do you have any plans to maybe take out some of the Tier 2 bonds that you have outstanding, like the 2027, for example? Or maybe if you can't take them out yourself, do you know if your shareholder has any plans to buy more?
In terms of your question, so we have no plan to buy back any bonds now. We did some with the bonds with the 2018, as we said, with the sub 2018. In terms of the bonds we issued this year, we don't have any plans because we think that the current capital structure is solid and all the current depositors and subordinated depositors and holders of the subordinated bonds should be, let's say, happy with the current capital structure. At the same time, we think that potentially it can happen, but we didn't make any decision until this time.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Enrique Morato from Aberdeen Asset Management.
Hi, guys. congrats on the results, and thanks for the call. Quick two questions. First, I mean, on the you mentioned several times, you know, increasing your loan book to exporters, mainly in the oil and gas sector. It looks like quarter on quarter it was a pretty big increase, I mean, 100 billion rubles. If you could just comment on whether this is a particular borrower or is a number of borrowers, and whether you're gaining market share from competitors or whether this is companies actually starting to borrow again to invest. So that's the first question.
Hi, thank you for the question. Look, in terms of the growth, it most, of course, it's more refinancing because what we see now that mostly the companies are not very active in terms of investing more money and in terms of borrowing money for some fresh projects. But at the same time, of course, some of the money we lend to our borrowers kind of like this for some new projects. In terms of number of the borrowers, it's number of different borrowers, so it's not like one or two or three borrowers, but at the same time, of course, there's some kind of the concentration on the particular names, because as you know, Russian sector of exporters in this area and the companies in this area are quite, let's say, concentrated. So.
Okay. Also, notice a pretty meaningful. That's fine. No, sorry. I thought there was a reduction in auto exposure, but it actually was roughly flat. So that's fine. The second question is: could you comment on the NIM? I mean, I think Eric commented that, you know, the market is very competitive, and you're seeing some pressure. Could you just comment from a different angle? I mean, in April, March, you raised $1.3 billion. I mean, how much is that having an impact on your NIM, if any at all? And if it's having an impact, when should we expect that impact to go away?
It looks like if I'm talking about T1, the interest are not going through the net interest margin. And in terms of Tier 2, it was not very material. So we're not thinking that it was the main pressure from this side. The main pressure on net interest margin is coming from, first of all, from the competition and from the decrease in margin, because some of the banks, some of the lenders are also quite active. And the second, of course, is that, as you saw, we increased the volume of the repo transactions on the balance sheet. And that's why, of course, it was also had an effect on our net interest margin if we're not counting it with the net with the risk weighted assets.
Yep. Cool. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Alvin Chu of Trend Capital.
Hey, hi, Vladimir. Hi, Eric. How are you? Just only got one question. I saw that the fair value of your securities covering the the fair value of securities that serve as collateral under the reverse repo, I mean, the coverage ratio has dropped to like 112% from 122%. Could you give us a little bit more color as to, you know, the reasons behind this drop in the coverage ratio? Thank you.
If I understand your question correctly, I will check with my colleagues. It looks like because the discount is lower now, maybe that was the reason, if we understand your question correctly.
So the discount is lower right now.
We should check. If it's better if you just send the question to me or to Eric, because we should be more concrete. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov of Morgan Stanley.
Hi there. I have a couple of quick questions. The first one is going to be, Can you chat a little bit about your plans about the senior bonds that mature on February 1st next year?
Hi, Nick. Thank you for the question. I was expecting something like this. So we are thinking about this now, and it looks like the market potentially can be good, and so why not? We'll see. Anyway, until this time, we didn't make any decisions, and if we'll make some, of course, you will see us on the screen. But in terms of the amount we should repay in February, it's not material in terms of our current liquidity, so we're absolutely fine with this just pay without any refinancing. But in terms of just being on the market with the senior debt and make one more deal with a longer curve, or why not? So we will see. But still not any decisions.
Okay, thank you. The next question is going to be on your increasing exposure to the oil and gas sector, currently 38% of your total loan book. Do you guys have like an internal risk limit, or are we going to continue to see your exposure to oil and gas grow? Like, how do you manage risk there?
The risk is managed very simple because it's the particular borrower, and as you know, this sector is much more linked to the, let's say, quasi-sovereign risk. And if we are sure that the borrower is fine and the borrower is, let's say, close to the quasi-sovereign risk, we are thinking much more about the particular borrower. But at the same time, you're absolutely right, and we have a limit on borrowers in this from this sector which are not linked to the, let's say, to export, or which are not linked to the quasi-sovereign risk. And of course, for these borrowers, we have internal limit, and we are still have some room for the borrowers like this. So my answer like this.
So we shouldn't be necessarily surprised to see that exposure grow from current levels.
You know, it depends. It depends on the quality of every particular borrower. And if, for example, one of the top five Russian oil and gas companies will ask for the extra financing, I think that will be not the question of the limit for such a sector. It will be much more the question of the particular borrower and the project we can finance, and the rate and the tenor. It's a very complicated discussion all the time.
Okay. Okay. And going back to your net interest margin, can you give us some guidance? I understand there is a lot of pressure. Obviously, the summer was very difficult. But when you look forward, right, what are your expectations for NIM? Do you see normalization? And if you see normalization, at what levels?
Some calls ago, I said that the normal level is 3%, but at that time, I didn't expect that we will be more active in terms of the, let's say, investment business. And as I just said, that we hired a new head of this new business for us, which is also will be more with the international angle. We potentially can see some decreasing of net interest margin if we're not making any, calculation with the risk-weighted assets. Without risk-weighted assets, it can be lower, but only in the case if we see that some transactions will have low pressure on the capital. So in this case, yes, potentially it can be lower, but I think that current level is kind of stable, because it's also quite close to the some levels we have in the repo deals. So that's why we are not expecting it should be, let's say, lower. But it's not on, it's also not easy to predict, because potentially the pressure which can be from some other banks also can be high. But as you know, we, let's say, lost a couple of the banks in the form they've been before, and we are expecting that it will make competition a bit lower.
Okay, got it. And do you mind walking us again through the calculations of your N11 ratio, currently 6.9 as of October 1st? You did talk previously about the incorporation of the profits from the first several months, I believe, through October. Where are we in that process? Has there been any changes with regard to your equity raise, the $14.4 billion? And what do you expect that ratio is going to look like at, you know, November 1st or December 1st as well?
We're not expecting that 1st of December will be lower than 1st of November. I don't see why.
Okay, December 1st, you said it's going to be lower than November 1st.
Yeah, because November 1st is already included, so the profit and SPO is already included. I think that we will disclose this, CBR will disclose the figures for the next few days, and you will see it.
Okay.
Anyway, but I think in terms of the 1st of December, if you compare 1st of December with the 1st of November, there will be, I think, it will be not lower, for sure.
It's going to be slightly lower. Okay, got it. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Oksana Reinhardt of UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for a wonderful presentation. I have a question on your partnership with Rosneft. I understand that you got subordinated deposit, and I would guess that some of your repo transactions and some of your lending book is also connected to the entity. Can you give us more color on this, and is there any risk of sanctions in connection to your, let's say, affiliation to Rosneft? Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for the question. If you're asking about this risk, we, of course, it's only can be a decision of, which entity, if this risk is high or low. Currently, we don't see any deals or transactions or some relations which can bring us to this risk and to this status. At the same time, of course, we read a lot about this, about news from another side of the ocean, and that it can be some new restrictions, it can be some new analysis, but currently we don't see any risk of this. Current, if it's based on the current transactions we have, on the current relations we have.
Okay, understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference back to our hosts for any additional or closing remarks.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention and time to attend this call today. Our IR team can follow up with any updates if necessary. And now we wish you a very nice end of the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.